don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
I'm here. Hello. Let's do this thing. Cubs baseball making its presence known, let's put it that way, before riding off into the sunset until next spring. Another couple of East Coast games preempting the show Monday and Tuesday. I did catch up with Iowa State football play-by-play voice John Walters on Monday. Got a podcast of that conversation online at 1650thefan.com in case you missed it. Man, how about that? I mean, I feel like the conversation with John last week, the conversation with Rob Grave, the Gazette, was on point with regard to Iowa State, Kansas, and everything that, you know, was anticipated in that matchup, given how well the Jayhawks had played up to that point. But to see them hold Iowa State to 11 points and win that game 14-11, not that I didn't think it was out of the question that Kansas could beat Iowa State, particularly in Lawrence, but to see them limit Iowa State's offense the way they did, they didn't break. Or when they broke, they only broke twice, right? Gave up a field goal and then the touchdown that came with the two-point conversion, and were able to do just enough offensively. And it's not that Kansas is all of a sudden a juggernaut. It's just simply playing complementary field position football. And there's something to be said for that. As much as we all get wrapped up into spread offenses and what everybody's doing with, you know, their jet sweeps and their screen game and their read option and their RPO. You know, what are you doing with your burner wide receiver or your gadget guy? At the end of the day, if you line up and can play downhill and run the ball and set up play action passes, you don't turn it over, you do not commit penalties, you're probably going to be in 98% of the games you play, no matter what it says on the front of your jersey or on the side of your helmet. And Kansas is doing that. They're playing solid, complementary field position football, and they've got some talent. So Iowa State's got to figure out how to score more points. They got to get their running game going, which is a challenge because there's some injuries in that backfield. And it's the Big 12, man. It's not going to get any easier, that's for sure, because on paper, Kansas, they're supposed to be the easiest one, right? And so now it's Kansas State coming to Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday, and you'll hear that game over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. That's a 4:30 pregame and a 6:30 kickoff Saturday on Cruising KCFI. We'll have Waterloo Blackhawks hockey on Saturday night here on The Fan, Tri-City coming to Young Arena. And then Saturday morning, we will bring you the Red River rivalry game. I almost got it. I came into it confident. Red River rivalry game. There we go. There's just something about saying it, you know, without breaking stride, like without breaking verbal stride. There's just something about it. I can't do it. And you would think, me of all people, who does this for a living, but we will bring you the Red River rivalry game, Texas. Jesus. Oh, man, we will bring you that on Saturday. So check out the broadcast calendar, 1650thefan.com. All right, the coaches huddle coming up tonight from 6 to 7. Mark Simpson standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls, and he will be joined by the four Metro High School football coaches, that being Cedar Falls' Brad Rimmert, Lonnie Moore of Waterloo West, Waterloo East to Carlos Anderson, and Waterloo Columbus Catholic's Brad Schmidt. So keep it locked right here as we are embarking on 2 hours of local sports talk today here on The Fan. Of course, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button, and you'll be all set and ready to go there. Check out that website, 1650thefan.com. It's where you get the podcast of this show, along with all sorts of local and statewide sports content. So bookmark it, and make sure you check it out on a regular basis. You could email me. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Or dial me up, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. All right, the plan, of course, as I mentioned, area sports news and scores here in just a moment. After we do that, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action Update from Brett Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. We'll come back from that first break, and Kevin Lehman, the coach, ESPN college basketball analyst, set to join the show in the second segment. He was at Iowa Men's Basketball Media Day. Yeah, the Hawks held their media day today. Fran McCaffrey and players meeting with the media, and the coach, Kevin Lehman, was in attendance. So coach will join us in the next segment, and we'll talk some Iowa Hawkeye men's basketball. Yeah, that's right. Folks, we're getting there. Okay, I know you're like, hey, I just got into football mode here. This is how it goes every year. A lot of us forget. But basketball right around the corner. Got some accolades that came in today. I'll tell you about here in a little bit for both Ashley Jones of Iowa State and Caitlin Clark of Iowa. So we're getting close. We're getting close. Saw Ben Jacobson over at UNI on Monday as I was going to the press conference and talked with him for a little while. Sounds like we'll have an update early next week on where things stand with all-conference center Austin Fife as the season draws near. So anticipate an update, as I mentioned, early next week. Hopefully all goes well for Austin there. And yeah, we'll hear from Coach Lehman. He'll tell us not only, I think we're going to be able to have time to talk Hawkeyes as they have the media day today, but he's also been bouncing around like he usually does, going to preseason practices of Missouri Valley Conference teams. So we'll ask Coach, what have you seen with these Valley teams that you've been able to visit so far? Any sleepers? Any for sure contenders? Of course, the Valley looking different this year with three new teams, that being Belmont, Murray State, and Illinois Chicago. So a lot to talk about as it relates to not only the Iowa Hawkeyes, but Missouri Valley Conference basketball with the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up next here on a Wednesday edition of the show. After we're done talking hoops with Coach Lehman, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back on the other side of that break, and I'll bring you UNI football coach Mark Farley audio. Was able to pester Coach Farley with questions earlier this week. As I mentioned on the usual Monday press conference, I want to be able to bring that to you like usual. A lot of good stuff from Coach, including something that, you know, just that these two eyes thought he saw. And then I asked, and I got the answer I thought I would get. And I'm not sure. I don't think many people were aware of this. I'm not saying that nobody was, But I'm not sure anybody was aware of this particular development as it relates to UNI football. So they call that a tease in the business, boys and girls. So stick around for that one in what is a nice smorgasbord of UNI football coach Mark Farley audio today, coming up in the third segment of the show. After we're done hearing from Coach Farley, we'll take the final timeout. That's when you get an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. And then we come back for a final time and wrap up the show. Real quick, before we dive in here, a couple things. Speaking of UNI, this has been an oddly / poorly kept secret, and I'm not sure if that's by design or not, which makes me scratch my head all the harder. But how many of you folks out there have caught wind of this Our Tomorrow campaign that the University of Northern Iowa is set to unveil Friday night? And it'll be a whole weekend affair as its announcement is woven into different homecoming events, because it is homecoming this week at UNI. And long story short, this is a university effort, a fundraising effort, that also brings in, it also fundraises for the athletic department as well, which is not always the case with these things. There's not always collaboration with these efforts. And from what I've been able to gather, this Our Tomorrow fundraising campaign is set to raise $250 million, $250 million. And I can't say this for sure, but it sounds like in the neighborhood of $180 million or so have already been raised by this campaign. And you are talking the tip of the top of the movers and the shakers who either are alumni, work for the university, so on and so forth, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, to make this fundraiser hit the marks that it was set out to hit. And so if this is the case, I think that's pretty exciting stuff if you're a UNI alum and or UNI Panther fan. I'm not sure what it says about athletics in and of itself under David Harris's leadership with regard to its ability to fundraise. That's something that I know, if I'm not mistaken, David Harris is going to speak this upcoming Monday at the usual UNI Monday press conferences. So something I'll certainly be asking David Harris about is, what, if anything, does this say about where things stand, what the, how would you describe the health of your ability to fundraise as an athletic department separate of the university? Because David Harris unveiled his strategic plan, I think, 5 years ago now. And it's safe to say that strategic plan has been well behind schedule, albeit the pandemic playing a role, but nonetheless, certainly some questions to be asked there. Albeit at the same time, some exciting things going on with this Our Tomorrow fundraiser from UNI that's got somewhere between $50 and $60 million earmarked for Unidome renovations, which will apparently largely happen on the west side of the dome. I feel like that this plan needs to be way more ambitious. I think you should take the roof off the dome and completely reimagine what to do with the footprint, and maybe spend $125 million, not 50 or 60, and put that building in a place where you don't have to touch it for 50 years, at least 40. And when you have to touch it in 40, 50 years, it's just because things are a little dated, not because it's structural or, you know, anything real serious. You know what I mean? But don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole, and that's a rabbit hole that you can go down and next thing you know, 3 hours have gone by, especially if you're a big Panther fan. But some interesting stuff going on there, and that won't be the last we talk about it this week or next week. So keeping tabs on that. But let's take this first time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and we'll do it after, of course, I get you some area sports news and scores. So let's get that done, and then let's get to break, and we'll get to Coach Lehman, or otherwise he's probably going to be texting me wondering what the heck's going on. So let's dive in here. Last night in high school volleyball in the Metro, Linmar edged Waterloo West in 5 sets. Waterloo East stays hot, gets a sweep of Marshalltown last night, And South Hardin defeated Waterloo Columbus 2-0 in the first round of the NICL tournament. And in the consolation match, Columbus came back and swept Appleton Parkersburg 2-0. The boys and girls cross country Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet is taking place tomorrow. Action takes place at Seminole Valley Cross Country Course in Cedar Rapids. And both the Cedar Falls Tigers and Waterloo West Wahawks are going to be competing. The Tiger boys team enters tomorrow ranked 5th in Class 4A, while the Tiger girls are ranked 14th. The Metro High School football teams are preparing for Week 7 of the high school football season. And in Class 5A, 8th-ranked Cedar Falls will be on the road traveling to Dubuque Hempstead. You can, of course, hear that game on our companion station, Cruising KCFI, pregame at 6:45, around 6:45, kickoff around 7:15. Elsewhere in the Metro, Friday night, Waterloo West looking to get back in the win column, hosting Cedar Rapids Jefferson. In 4A, a District 3 game, Waterloo East travels to Western Dubuque. And in 1A, a District 4 matchup, Waterloo Columbus going for its third straight win, hosting Postville. Iowa State women's basketball player Ashley Jones has been named the 2022-23 Big 12 Women's Preseason Player of the Year. Jones is back for her fifth season at Iowa State. She's the all-time leading scorer in program history. Last year, she averaged 20.3 points per game and was a unanimous selection to the All-Big 12 team, also an All-American. Cyclones looking like they could have a big, big year. As could the Iowa women's basketball team, who was picked to finish first in both the coaches and media Big Ten preseason polls. And as you might imagine, All-American guard Caitlin Clark was voted both by the coaches and media as the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. The Wartburg women's soccer team has moved up one spot in this week's United Soccer Coaches National Top 25 poll. Knights go from 7-6. They are 10-0-1 to begin this season and host Central tonight. That match began 17 minutes ago at the top of the hour. And congratulations to New York Yankee slugger Aaron Judge. Got number 62 last night, passing Roger Maris for the American League home run record. As far as this guy is concerned, congrats, Aaron, but there's a few guys in front of him. Dirty or not, the record's the record. All right, let's leave it there, take a timeout, come back on the other side, talk Iowa hoops. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joins us next. This is a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Sports Flash. All right, take it easy, Simo. Sixth inning, the Angels lead the The A's lead the Angels 1-0. Shohei Ohtani is pitching in this one, looking for the win. Blue Jays a 1-0 advantage on the Orioles there in the sixth. That's game two of the double dip. Baltimore took game one 5-4. Pirates lead the Cardinals 5-3, top five. Now, keep in mind, this is the last day of the regular season. None of these games actually mean anything towards the playoffs. All of the seeding is absolutely finished in Major League Baseball. Rangers have taken a 4-2 advantage on the Yankees. That's bottom five. No Aaron Judge sitting with those 62 homers. Astros a 2-0 lead on the Phillies in the fifth. D-backs
hey,
and the
copy.
Brewers even at 1 in the sixth. Guardians lead the Royals 6-2. They're in the fifth inning. Tigers a 3-2 advantage on the Mariners. They're in the sixth.
All right, great.
Braves and
about
Marlins
3 minutes.
Tied at 3 in the fifth. Mets and the Nationals finally going to get started after about a two-hour rain delay. Supposed to start top of the hour. Giants a 3-1 lead on the Padres. They're in the fourth. Red Sox a 3-2 lead on the Rays. They're in the fourth inning as well. Cubs lead the Reds 3-2 in the fourth. Gary Sanchez is homer driven in four as the Twins lead the White Sox 10-0 in the fourth. Rockies and Dodgers, they're even at one. They're in the fifth inning. And Jonathan Taylor ruled out for the Colts Thursday against the Broncos. I'm Marco Belletti.
Jim Rome here. Coming up Thursday in the Jungle, a conversation with Bengals corner Mike Hilton. See you Thursday, 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific.
For the best local, statewide, and national sports talk, lock your radio right here on The Fan.
The Cedar Falls School District would like to thank grandparents, friends, and extended families for all you do to support their mission. Your sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, and grandchildren continue to inspire the entire community by their upbeat, joy-filled, resilient responses to the changes that have come their way. The Cedar Falls School's mission of excellence is embodied in their desire for continuous improvement, and their goal is to maximize the abilities of all students in a supportive, collaborative environment. Educating your youth is an honor and a task that they take very seriously. In a time wrought with change and uncertainty, what will remain constant is the Cedar Falls School's dedication to your youth. Our future is in their hands. Always remember, their first priority is the safety of students, staff, teachers, administrators, and the community at large. Cedar Falls School students, you're amazing. We're so proud of you. Have a great year and go Tigers!
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Kerry, the world's leading taste and nutrition company for food, beverage, and pharmaceutical, is hiring. Be part of a worldwide team that's shaping the future of food. If you're dependable, can lift up to 50 pounds repetitively, and want to grow your career, join the Kerry team in Vinton. Kerry offers a $1,500 sign-on bonus, competitive wages, full benefits, including excellent health insurance, 3 weeks paid time off beginning year two, paid holidays, and stability within a clean, team-oriented environment. Visit jobs.kerry.com to apply today. Kerry is an equal opportunity employer.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 52 tonight under partly cloudy skies with a slight chance for scattered storms. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 63. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 37. Low 50s Friday, turning much warmer on Saturday with highs in the upper 50s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 62.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader 1650, The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues. Another episode of the Coach's Huddle coming up tonight between 6 and 7. Mark Simpson standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub, set once again to be joined by the four Metro High School football coaches. Right now, though, we're talking hoops. Yeah, folks, as I told you at the top of the show, basketball season just around the corner. So that means this guy, the coach, Kevin Lehman, kind enough to join us on the show today, ESPN college basketball analyst. Coach, how you doing?
Cole, I'm doing great, man. We're getting close to basketball tipping off, so it won't be long until November 7th is here.
Yeah, we know it's getting close when media days start taking place, and that was the case today in Iowa City. The Iowa men's basketball team holding its annual media day, and that meant that Fran McCaffrey meets the media. The players all meet with the media. So was there anything in particular that stuck out, or, Coach, was this your standard formulaic media day? What were the takeaways?
Well, it was kind of interesting. We first came in, they gave us a sheet about all the accomplishments of Iowa basketball under Fran McCaffrey. And, you know, it's pretty impressive. They won that Big Ten tournament championship last year. And think about this, Cole. They've had a first-team consensus All-American three straight seasons now. And that hasn't happened at Iowa since, you know, go back to Utah and way back to Chuck Darling. So they've had some success. And I think the question was, can you sustain this now to Fran McCaffrey, where they've, you know, they won the Big Ten tournament. They've been one of the better teams in the Big Ten, but they still haven't had that success in the NCAA tournament. That seems to be the one black mark on Fran McCaffrey's career at Iowa.
Well, and that makes me think, Coach, because this past year when they won the Big Ten tournament championship, very quickly after the early exit in the NCAA tournament, the thought was, okay, well, you know, it really, that's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, you want to win, but, you know, that Big Ten tournament butts right up against the NCAA tournament, like most of those Power 5 ones do. And folks are saying, oh, their legs are tired. Well, okay, maybe, but, like, you can't use that excuse for every year because they haven't won the Big Ten tournament every year ahead of the NCAA tournaments that they've made under Fran.
Well, also, Richmond was in the same exact calendar. They had to play a championship game on Sunday. I think they had to play four games to get there. Then they had the quick turnaround. Was it a Thursday night game? So, yeah, I wouldn't look at that excuse. But I think if you look at this year's team, you know, you've got it. You know, Jordan Bohan was there for a decade playing, so you've got to replace him. Of course, Keegan Murray went off in his first NBA game. So those are the guys they got to replace. But I tell you, the guy who caught my eye just watching him work out there was Peyton Sanford. Looked really good. I mean, grown an inch, 6'7", can really shoot it, got some size, can pass it, and he's always moving. I think he's the guy that's going to have the breakout year for the Hawkeyes.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that, not because I don't think Peyton Sanford's a really special talent on that Iowa Hawkeye basketball team, Coach Lehman, but everybody's just pointed at Chris Murray with his brother Keegan having, you know, done what he did, making the jump that he did from his freshman to sophomore year. And I'm pulling for Chris. I want him to play the absolute best that he can, Coach Lehman. I don't know if worry's the right word, but I do wonder if this isn't as simple as it seems people are making it out to be, where it's like, oh, well, Chris will have the ball in his hands more because Keegan's gone, and that'll be a really great thing. He'll do great things. I don't think it's that simple.
A lot of pressure on Chris Murray. A lot of pressure on him because of his twin brother. And you know this from him playing, being that role guy and then taking that next step to being the guy.
Big jump.
That's a huge difference. Yes, big. And you got to have the DNA for it. You got to want to be that alpha dog. I guess that's the question mark I have with Chris. He's got the skills, but does he have that alpha dog gene to make that next step forward? And we'll see what happens. You know, the guy that's also had a good end of the year, and I think they're looking for big things, is Tony Perkins, because he can play that point, he can play that off guard, he can guard a number of positions. Didn't work out because of he's got a hand injury, but that's another guy I think is going to step forward for this Hawkeye team.
Here's the thing, though. With Chris Murray and Tony Perkins, is Tony Perkins going to shoot the ball well enough to be what he should be, which I think he's got the talent to be a, you know, an all Big Ten, second, third team guy? His defense was a real big factor last year. You would think that it will only continue to be. And then with Chris Murray, like, okay, he's obviously got a lot of similar skills that his brother does, but like Keegan's ability to lead the fast break last year and play downhill a lot of times when you might think that he would dish it off or, you know, slow it up and set up the offense. Iowa got a lot of points in transition last year, Coach Lehman, that I think only Keegan Murray could generate for them. Can Chris Murray generate those points in transition? And can Tony Perkins shoot it as well as he's going to need to?
Well, they also got a lot of points in their half-court sets from Keegan Murray. I think, to me, that's a bigger question mark because, you know, it's harder to score against that set defense. Iowa's always really run the ball well and spaced it well. But when you get in a half-court situation with that defense, what we call the loaded defense, they're all looking at you, they're all set, I think that's more difficult to score. I think the bigger question is, can Chris Murray score in a half-court situation where they know he's going to be the man and trying to go to him? Because, you know, Keegan, you look at when they come out of timeouts, they ran some sets for Keegan, how successful he was.
Yeah.
That was huge for them. And, you know, the other guy, since we're talking about guys step up their game, Patrick McCaffrey has to take another huge leap with his game also for this Iowa team. And I think you're going to see that from him also. It may not be bigger numbers, but he's a pretty talented young man.
He was, I think, somewhere between about 9 and 11 points per game last season. Coach, if he's 12 to 14 and he ups his rebounding a little bit, I think that's more than okay from Patrick McCaffrey.
Well, that's one of the things Fran said. With Keegan Murray gone, one of the concerns he has is the rebounding factor, because remember, early in the season, they were getting crushed on the glass, and they got more focused on it. Keegan Murray started getting some boards. And Fran said Patrick McCaffrey has to rebound the ball better for them this season than he did last season. So that's something that they're putting some more pressure on Patrick to step up. And he's lost a few pounds. He evidently wanted to play at a lower weight. They had him up to like 214 last year. He's around 207, 208. He likes playing a little lighter on his feet so he can get up and down the court.
Interesting stuff. Okay, Coach, let's get down to brass tacks here with this Iowa men's basketball team. ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, our guest on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Make sure you follow Coach on Twitter at @KLehmanSports. What are we talking about here? 17 to 21 ish wins, middle of the pack, slightly worse than the Big Ten. It's hard to, for me right now, it's hard to me, hard for me to envision much else, Coach Lehman.
Well, I don't know if it's the good or the bad, but 15 of the top 20 scores in the Big Ten are gone. Bo Bowie of Northwestern is the top returning scorer. So this is a Big Ten that's rebuilding itself. Remember, 9 teams in the NCAA tournament last year, a lot of them laid big eggs. But that talent is gone. You've got three guys went in the top 10 of the draft, and Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey, the kid from Wisconsin. So there's been a huge loss of talent. I think that's going to help Iowa, even though Keegan Murray's one of those guys that left. So I'm looking for him to be in the top half of the Big Ten. I just don't think the Big Ten is going to be as good as it was last year.
Who's going to win the Big Ten?
Well, right now it's got to be everything pointing at Indiana, which there's a quick turnaround for Indiana with that new coach in there. So, you know, they've got their bigs coming back. That's the team that everybody's talking about right now that you've got to be able to beat. You know, Mike Woodson's done a great job in there, and they're bringing back the big man, Trace Jackson Davis. They've got a nice front line, and Race Thompson, evidently they brought in two freshmen that were really high-quality players. So that's the team everybody's talking about. After that, I think you're looking at Michigan. Illinois will be interesting because they went to the transfer portal to reload, one of the teams that did that in the Big Ten. And, of course, Ohio State is one of those teams that's always sneaky good. They're kind of, in my eyes, the new Wisconsin. The Buckeyes are always in the top four in the Big Ten.
Coach, great stuff. Hey, before I let you go, I know you had told me you've been bouncing around to some of the Missouri Valley men's hoops teams here in preseason practices. So real quick, before I let you go, anybody, anyone, any team that's stuck out, whether you're thinking, oh, they're for sure a contender or you got to keep an eye on them. They could be a sleeper.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a sleeper, but you know, I've just seen a couple. I hope to get to see the Panthers and the Drake Bulldogs here in the coming days. But I did stop and see Valpo, Illinois State, and Bradley. And Bradley's a team we kind of forgot about. Mm-hmm. That entire front line is back, Cole. You take a look at them. Rink Mast inside, that big man can pick and pop, can post up. Leon's the JUCO kid that came in, looks a little bit stronger. And the big one for them, remember Jashaun Henry that missed most of the season because of concussion protocol? He decided to come back for the next year. That gives them, I think, the best front line in the Valley. So I look for them to challenge Drake for this championship.
You know, Coach, I said I was going to let you go, but you got me going here on the Valley. It just makes me think, with the talent that left the Valley, whoever plays defense the best, I would say at the very least, they're going to be playing in the semifinals, if not at least guarantee themselves a chance at an NCAA tournament in a Valley championship game. I just feel like the Valley's going to get maybe back a little bit to its roots this season and be a little bit more black and blue, if you know what I mean.
I'm with you on that one because you talk to these coaches. These new coaches come to the league, like Ryan Peden at Illinois State. You know, he did all the stats. He goes, hey, you know, the teams that are winning this Arch Bandits tournament are one of the tops in the country in defensive efficiency. So he's going to build his team around that. I think, though, Cole, this is a huge year for the Valley. You add Murray State, you add Belmont, they have to be a multiple bid league this year. They've got to up their scheduling, get that net up there. This is a big transition year for the Valley if they're going to take that next step forward as a league.
Coach, I got to run. Great stuff as always, and safe travels as you continue to visit more teams ahead of the basketball season, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon and as we continue to talk hoops.
Okay, always a pleasure to be on with you, Cole.
The coach, Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst, kind enough to join us on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. It's just, Iowa's got some exciting players to watch, but it's very hard, damn near impossible to say what this team's going to be this year. And it's, if you're trying, like I did today, knowing we were going to talk to Coach Lehman, trying to speculate about, you know, what's the end result look like, I mean, what, I think 16 to 23 wins, like anywhere in that range, I think is all fair game. But that's part of the fun, too. It's one thing to have a great team that everybody's got big expectations for, but some of the most fun seasons are ones where you go into the year and there's a whole bunch of question marks and you just got to ride the coaster. So we'll see what happens. And then interesting to hear the tidbit there from Coach Lehman on what these Valley coaches are saying, that, you know, if you want the best chance to win the Valley tournament, which is by far, because it's largely been a one-bid league, by far your best chance to get into an NCAA tournament, the numbers say you got to be one of the league's better defensive teams to win and get into that game on Sunday. So very curious to see if my speculation comes true that Missouri Valley Conference basketball going to be a little more physical, I think. Not that it hasn't been, but I think you're going to see scores come down a little bit with the amount of talent that left the league. And as a result of that, it's going to highlight the better defensive teams in the league. That's just how I see it shaking out. So interesting to see or hear that Coach Lehman's right there with me on that one. Okay, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up with Todd Kim on the other side of the break. We'll go from talking hoops to talking football. We'll hear audio from UNI football coach Mark Farley. That's coming up next on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is presented by Iowa's locally owned electric cooperatives, reminding you to be aware of your surroundings in the field this fall.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey says it's Chris Murray's time in the spotlight. The junior forward will be looked on to replace his twin brother Keegan, who's now in the NBA after an All-American sophomore season.
We're all Kings fans. We love Keegan and hope he's a rookie of the year. So proud of him. He's MVP of the Summer League. Leading scorer in a game the other night, you know, his first game. So, I mean, we just couldn't be happier for him. But he's not here. Chris is here, and it's Chris's turn.
Several veteran players returned from last year's team that won the Big Ten tournament. The Hawkeyes take on Truman State October 31st in an exhibition game. Wartburg is ranked 20th, and Central is 24th in latest D3Football.com Top 25. Those teams will collide this weekend in Pella. This is Radio Iowa.
More controversy in Washington today.
The White House announced another Biden spending plan today.
Biden says he wants you to pay off someone else's student loans.
We all know Washington is broken. Endless spending, open borders, paying people not to work. Folks,
yes,
out
Mark,
there could learn a thing or two from Iowa. Because
yeah,
here,
I got you.
Under the leadership of Governor Kim Reynolds, America.
Yeah, go ahead
still
and check
works.
The other headset.
Good news for seniors as Governor Reynolds eliminates taxes on retirement income.
Iowa becomes the first state in the nation to get kids back in the classroom.
The governor announced new protections for law enforcement today.
Iowa Governor Kim
Reynolds. Okay, I'm going to disconnect with you, and then you can send a new call, or I'll reconnect on this one after this segment.
We cut taxes and support our police, because in Iowa, America still works.
Governor Kim Reynolds, common sense leadership for Iowa.
I'm Kim Reynolds, and I approve this message, paid for by the Kim Reynolds for Iowa Committee.
Don't be fooled by Liz Mathis. She's just a rubber stamp for Biden and Pelosi.
Liberal Liz Mathis. Her campaign, bankrolled by Pelosi. Her radical agenda, the same as Pelosi's.
She wants higher taxes and more government spending, just like Pelosi.
Liz Mathis opposed the largest tax cut in Iowa history.
She thinks I should pay taxes on my retirement income.
Mathis even wants to tax the mileage on my car.
If you like Nancy Pelosi, you'll love Liz Mathis.
Liberal Liz Mathis. She'll be Pelosi's voice in Washington, not yours. The Iowa choice? Ashley Hinson. Hinson will stand up to the radical Pelosi agenda, not rubber stamp it.
Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are on the ballot here in Iowa, and they're going by the name Liz Mathis. I'm Ashley Hinson, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because we need to defeat them to take our country back.
Paid for by Ashley Hinson for Congress.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650. The Fan.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues, and as promised, got some U and I football audio from the one and only Coach Mark Farley, and the U and I football team hosts Illinois State this Saturday. It's homecoming at U and I, and the Panthers are hoping to get back to 500 with a win. They'd be 3-3, and a large part of U and I's current two-game winning streak has been improved play from its defense, and Coach Farley talked about that unit's progress when meeting with the media earlier this week.
I think it's evident the growth in the last 2 weeks. I mean, I can see what's going on the football field. I think last week what you saw was when they got to the red zone, the things changed in the red zone. The plays that were made in the red zone were more like the plays that we need to make, and that's more not the plan, that's more the players making plays and making the stop with the intensity of play. So that's happening. I think our coverage has improved, has tightened up in the last few weeks. It needs to tighten up some more. And then with tighter coverage, you get better pressure. And you can't do any of that without stopping the run. So our run defense has improved, which in turn has put more balls in the air. More balls in the air gives an opportunity to play the coverages, to create the pressure, and it all goes hand in hand. It's a domino effect. You lose one of those factors, you're probably going to lose them all. But if you hit one and can close one thing down, put something, as I say, put something away that you're doing a good job taking something away, then you have to make the plays that when they come your way, and right now they are. So overall, good, but there's always room for improvement.
One of the critiques of the Panthers improving defense coming out of the 20-14 win over Indiana State this past Saturday was allowing 11 combined third and fourth down conversions to the Sycamores. Coach Farley talked about that as well.
Oh, the first drive alone, we had a chance on they went for it on fourth and short down here on their own 40-yard line. And that would have swung the game, and we didn't play that one correctly. The down before we did, stopped the third and one. They went for and fourth and one, and got it by a half a yard because of our error. And then later on that same drive, two other times, it was a third and four, third and three, and we jumped off sides. So again, it was our error. So we made the error to create these drives to leave them on the field, but in all return, I still go back to the team. I'm going, hey, they didn't get in the end zone. At the end of the day, they didn't get in the end zone. That's the bottom line. This game is getting the end zone. And it deflates a team to do that work. And what I like about our football team is you say, where's the progress on defense? Is they got inside down there when after a long drive, you think that the defense might have been weary at that time, and that's when they really stepped up. So that's where progress showed, and that was part of winning the game.
Offensive tackle Nick Ellis and wide receiver Logan Wolf both dressed this last Saturday after missing week 5 at Western Illinois. Ellis did not play. However, Wolf did see limited snaps in Saturday's win. Here is Coach Farley with an update on those two injured Panthers.
They're both making progress. So just what you saw, they were on hand. They're right at that verge of breaking back into the starting lineup. So, yeah, it was good to have them out there. Ellis probably could have played had we needed him. But I think both of them right there at that verge, was that the game to bring them back into, or are they a week away from playing? So hopefully they were a week away from playing, because we need them this weekend.
Taking a look at this U and I defense individually, sophomore defensive lineman Cannon Butler, the Waterloo Columbus Catholic alum. He followed up an impressive starting debut in Week 5 at Western Illinois with another good performance in this past week's game against Indiana State. And his emergence, it's proven critical for what's been or what had been a really unsettled UNI defensive line. And Coach Farley continued to have great things to say this week about the former Sailor.
He represents kind of, we're talking about Kurt Warner and some of the legends, right? But Cannon's not a legend today, but I tell you what, Cannon is perseverance, just like UNI football is, because he built himself into a player. Nobody wanted Cannon. I mean, he was a tall, skinny kid that I just thought could play hard and had a chance to build that frame up. Now you're seeing the results of it, and he's got 3 years left to play. And he's out there making plays. He's running the football. He swung the pendulum of our defense because of what he can do athletically. And then his height helps because he's inside. You know, he's got that big arm length, too. So Cannon's made a difference. But speaking about Cannon, what I'd say is that he's the one that had to be doing the lift in the last 3 years and all the things that we've had to do with him, because without the work, it's just a frame. And but he's put the time in now, and now he's getting results, and now I think he's even more motivated to do the work outside of just practice, because he can kind of see the vision that we had for him way back when we took him out of high school.
And a final thing on this UNI defense, improving defense, I should add, as has kind of been the theme here, that one thing I had noticed watching Coach Farley on the sideline really kind of started with the first home game against Sacramento State in Week 4 was, if you recall, some serious shakeups to his defensive staff this past offseason. Longtime defensive coordinator Jeremiah Johnson left for Kent State, and linebackers coach DJ Vokalek also left for Nebraska. And with those two gone, and given what I had seen beginning, like I said, back in Week 4, I started to scratch my head and rub my chin and go, looks to me like Coach Farley's back calling plays full-time for his defense. He's got a little play sheet in front of his hands, laminated play sheet, looks bigger than any of the other little notebooks or anything he's ever held. So I just asked Coach Farley on Monday, hey, you calling plays? Here's, I think I got all this audio put together here. It should include my question to Coach Farley. Here we go.
Mark, I've noticed you with a laminate piece of paper that I haven't seen in years past. Are you calling defensive plays this season?
I am now, yes. I've always had the laminate piece of paper. It's because I can't see anymore. That's why I got glasses on.
When was the last time that you called plays full time?
Oh, shoot. I can't even remember the last time I did it the full game, but I've always done it. Through the course of particularly probably the last 3 or 4 years, because as you went through it, we build a plan, basically the menu of what we're calling, and then JJ was always the one that he'd prepare for the down and distance stuff, and we built the plan, and then as you went through it, I could check and balance the whole thing and see where we were leaking and see what needed to be fixed as we go through it. And so now it's a little bit different, because it just puts more keeps you busy on the sidelines, put it that way, to try to stay ahead of the game as much as make the adjustments in the game and still be on top of situations that are going to come up that maybe aren't just defensive situations. So it's, you know, it's fun. It's what we do, man. It's what I do. So, you know, I've always made the menu. So now you just got to do a little bit deeper process of figuring out the down and distance and what to call when.
I thought that was an interesting thing to hear Coach Farley confirm, and then as interesting as everything he had to say as well. And he tried to act like I didn't quite have him cornered when he said, oh, I've always got a piece of paper in my hand. And I'm like, well, not a laminated piece of paper that big, Coach Farley. And he was wearing his glasses on Monday. He goes, I'm getting old, okay? I got to have a bigger piece of paper because the words got to be bigger on it. That's when he was laughing there at the start of that clip. But for as much as anybody, obviously Coach Farley knows his own defense better than anybody, of course. But one thing to know your defense, another thing to call it, especially since it's been so many years. So I do wonder, too, with all respect to Coach Farley, that slow start to the season, if maybe him getting back into the groove of calling plays, I think it's fair to say may have had, you know, some level of effect on some of those early struggles. So perhaps it's Coach Farley and his players as well, all improving at the same time. Certainly something to keep an eye on here the rest of the season. All right, let's take this final timeout. NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll come back for a final time, wrap up a Wednesday edition of the show right after this.
I'm Steve Weissman with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Kenny Pickett era has now begun in Pittsburgh. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin confirmed Tuesday that the first-round pick will make his first career start Sunday in Buffalo. Pickett ran for two touchdowns in relief of Mitch Trubisky in Sunday's loss to the Jets, and Tomlin says he believes Pickett can provide a spark for them. Elsewhere, Tua Tagovailoa met with the league and Players Association Tuesday as they investigate whether proper concussion protocol was followed when the Dolphins quarterback was injured in Week 3. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says Dak Prescott can't properly grip a football yet following thumb surgery, but he would not rule out his quarterback playing Sunday against the Rams. Prescott has been out since Week 1. In other news, the Cardinals waived former second-round pick Andy Isabella, and the Broncos signed running back Latavius Murray off the Saints practice squad. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Who's ready for a football game under the lights of Jack Trice Stadium? Well, catch the Cyclones in action this Saturday at 6:30 as they take on the Kansas State Wildcats. Tickets are available for as low as $50. Order your tickets today at cyclones.com and enjoy a Saturday spent with friends and family under the bright lights at Jack Trice Stadium. Iowa State versus Kansas State, Saturday at 6:30. Get your tickets now at cyclones.com for just $50. Grab those tickets now because this is a Big 12 showdown you won't want to miss.
Copy, Mark.
Gold Series soybeans are bred to win. These 19 varieties have strong agronomics within high-demand trait platforms like Enlist E3 soybeans for superior performance all season long. Gold Series soybeans also out-yielded Asgrow brand soybeans by an average of 1 bushel per acre in 5,542 comparisons. Grow gold at goldenharvestseeds.com/gold-series.
Is there anything better than just sitting outdoors enjoying nature? Well, I mean, I guess this chair could be a recliner. That'd be better. But there definitely wouldn't be anything better than that. Unless, of course, the recliner had one of those fancy built-in massagey things. Oh, and a bacon skillet.
There's always a better way to do things. With triple-stacked Enlist E3 varieties for proven performance, Zatavo soybean seed is seed done right. Zatavo from MS Technologies is distributed exclusively by BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Last night, Yankee outfielder Aaron Judge officially surpassed Roger Maris for the American League single-season home run record. What Judge has done this season is one of the more impressive hitting performances we've seen in a long time. But even with the remarkable season, there's still plenty of controversy surrounding Judge and the single-season record. With a complex history, Major League Baseball's multiple athletes who have had a reasonable argument to be the single-season home run king. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Roger Maris, Babe Ruth, and I understand that in the world of sports, we love to compare all-time greats. That conversation can get tiresome. And at the end of the day, it comes down to every individual's personal opinion. There are arguments to be made for all sides of the single-season home run record, but what Judge has done this season is unprecedented. So instead of arguing over stats and comparing players in different generations, how about we enjoy it? It was historical, and it doesn't come around very often. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. We all drive and we're going to have to replace our tires. I trust the experts at TireRack.com because for over 40 years, they've been revolutionizing tire buying. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and tell them what you drive. Try their easy-to-use tire decision guide to find out the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Their extensive collection includes the full lineup of Hankook Ventus, Optimo, and DynaPro tires. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Energy is something we have less of as we get older, and that's why I take M-Drive supplements for driven guys with clinically tested ingredients for healthy T levels and the drive to get things done. M-Drive can help you stay motivated and energized. And now you can try M-Drive for only $5. Text DAN to 55,000. Claim your offer. M-Drive. Text DAN 55,000. Get your first order. $5. Accomplish more with M-Drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Welcome back for a final time on this Wednesday. Got to thank ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman for joining today's show. After news and weather here at the end of the hour, we're going to hand it off to Mark Simpson, who's standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls for another episode of the Coaches Huddle. The four Metro High School football coaches will join Mark, recap week 6, look ahead to week 7, so keep it locked right here. Have a great night, everybody. I will be back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.